الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله عز وجل ورجل قلبه معلق بالمسجد إلى آخر الحديث أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, we are in this temporary place of dunya, and Allah knows best when our time will come to leave. I say, like, daily, every hour, there are more than some 5,000 people that pass away in the world, every hour. Something of this nature, Allahu alam. So every hour, 5,000-6,000 people are passing away. 95% of the time, we don't know who they are, or 99% of the time, we don't know who they are. So if we hear about it also, it's another statistic. And then when we do know the person, if it is somebody distant, then too it's a momentary thing. And if it is somebody very close, then for a day or two, and then we back into our normal routine of life, so that too fades away very, very quickly. Whereas we have been emphasized upon to excessively remember death so that it reminds us of our own death and how imminent this is. It could come at any moment. What preparations we've made for it. Many, many ayat of the Quran Sharif remind us about akhirat, and likewise many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind us about the ahwal and the conditions in the qabr. In fact, at the time of maut, what will happen? In the ayat of the Quran Sharif as well. What will be the case in the grave? How will things fare on the day of Qiyamat? Who will succeed? Who will fail? So all these things have been spelt out in many ahadiths in great amount of detail. Those who will succeed, those who will gain the good of the day of Qiyamah, the blessings of Allah Ta'ala on that day, that too has been spelt out in so many ahadiths. So that the person who has this concern that he wants to succeed, so he has some direction, what should I be doing? I want to become successful on that day. So if he has this concern of akhirat, he'll be wanting to succeed on the day of Qiyamah, succeed at the time of maut already in his qabr, on the day of Qiyamah. So he will now latch on to things that will take him towards a success. And likewise, things that are going to become a problem for him at the time of death, problem for him in the qabr. The Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that in the qabr, the person will be asked three questions. Everybody knows the questions. Everybody knows the answers also. But the person who had lived his life as per the commands of Allah Ta'ala, when he'll be asked, Man Rabbuk, he'll give the right answer. He'll say, Rabbi Allah. He lived Islam. Then his actions will speak in the grave. And he'll say that Deeni al-Islam. And if he lived in the emulation of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in the way of the Yahud and Nasara, then he'll be able to say that this is the personality of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And otherwise, Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains what will be his answer. And say, I used to hear people saying something, so I also just said it. But I don't know now. What's this all about? I don't know. La adri. I have no idea what this is. So now this has been spelled out to us so that it makes us concerned. I need to succeed in my grave. At the time of the questions of Munkar and Nakir, I need to give the answers that will make me successful. I don't want to end up in a problem in my qabr. Likewise, the day of Qiyamah, the pious personalities of the Ummah, they were constantly in the thought of Akhirat. Even in situations where we would be very far away from thinking about Akhirat, but their mind went to Akhirat. Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Alayha, she had sat down to eat and somebody presented one roasted chicken. So roasted chicken, now just merely the word roasted chicken might already get somebody's mouth salivating, the taste buds might be opening out. She burst out crying. So it was a very strange thing that somebody presented. It's ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Somebody presented a gift, a hadiya, so something to be happy about, to appreciate it. But this was something involuntary. She didn't first stop to now make herself cry. It was involuntary. Somebody asked her, but is this something happened? What's the problem? So now, the lesson to take from this is where her mind was. Where her mind went on that occasion. And why did her mind go in that direction? What took it there? So now she saw this chicken, roasted chicken, and she burst out crying. So she said, my mind went in this direction, that mashallah, this chicken was very fortunate, that first it was made zabah, and after the zabah was made, in the name of Allah Ta'ala, it was slaughtered. So then its life was gone. It was lifeless now. It was slaughtered. After it was lifeless, then it was roasted. So when it was being roasted, it felt no pain. Because it was already slaughtered, the life was gone, so it felt no pain. My mind went in this direction, that this chicken felt no pain because it was already slaughtered. Allah forbid, if I don't get saved, and on the day of Qiyamah, I get thrown in the fire of Jahannam, I'll get roasted alive. That thought made me cry. But now what made her mind go in that direction because of the constant concern about Akhirat? So even that scene also took the mind in that direction. When a person thinks about something repeatedly, the same thing over and over again, his mind and heart is engrossed in the same kind of thought, then things that are unrelated also will take his mind in the same direction. Somebody is engrossed in something about how to try and just make more of his dunya, then even the most furthest thing also will take his mind there. In the midst of his salah also, his mind will go in the same place. He'll be sometimes in front of Kaaba Sharif, the only dua will come for that. He'll be in Arafat and in Hajj, his dua and his concern will be more and more of his dunya only. And there'll be very little of Akhirat will come in between. Why? Because the heart and mind is engrossed in that. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he was the king of Balkh. And then Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq came, he gave up everything. And he went to live in the jungles. So one day one minister, many times people went to try and convince him to come back. One minister also one day took a chance, came, found him somewhere in the deep in the jungles. And he had devoted himself to Allah Ta'ala's ibadat. So he told him, please, can't you think about how you are enjoying life, where you are now, what you're doing now here in this jungle here? And you had that life of luxury, of comfort, people at your beck and call, and all that you left and came here, why don't you come back? So he said, okay, I don't mind coming back, but I've got one concern, one worry. If you sort that out, then I can come back. So this minister thought that it might be something, some worldly thing again. He said, okay, what's the worry? Tell me, what's the problem? What's bothering you? What's the concern? So he said, the concern is that on the day of Qiyamah, the Quran Sharif says, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. That one group will go to Jannat, and there'll be one group that will go to Jahannam. If you can tell me where I'm headed, and if you tell me I'm headed towards Jannah for sure, then okay, I can relax. I can come back with you. He said, that I don't know about my own self. Where I'm going to tell you about yourself? I have no idea. That only on the day of Qiyamah will know. He said, you can't give me any guarantees, then leave me to what I'm trying to secure my Jannat. So that constant concern that I need to secure my Akhirat, because that Akhirat is how close? It's closer than we know, closer than our jugular vein. Any moment that life can go. So now those ahadith that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted, the aspects of people who will succeed on the day of Qiyamah. So now every mu'min who's concerned about his Akhirat, this will be a very big thing for him, that I need to latch on to this. Because I need to secure my Akhirat. I can't take chances. So in one particular hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes 7 categories of people. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. 7 categories of people, Allah Ta'ala will bless them with the shade of His Arsh. On that day, the day of Qiyamah, when there'll be no other shade. No other shade, and people will be drowning in their perspiration. It'll be depending on the type of amal of a person. Some up to their ankles in perspiration, some up to their knees, some up to their waist, some up to their mouths. يُلْجِمُهُ إِلْجَامًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, like how that bit is put into the mouth of the horse, the perspiration of his own perspiration will be in his mouth like that. And in this very severe situation, and on this very severe day, there'll be some who will be super VIP. All the VIP treatment of this dunya put together will not be able to compare to one fraction of that treatment that Allah will bless them with. And that will be the super VIP treatment in the shade of the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. The things of dunya, no matter what we have seen and how much we have seen, and what we have tried to imagine, and what scenery we might have seen somewhere, or not even seen it ourselves, or we saw one picture of that scenery somewhere, and it takes our breath away. But all this put together can't equate one minute fraction of what the bounties of Akhirat are. And among these very, very, very great bounties is this bounty of the day of Qiyamah. Which means that inshallah then the rest of the path also is going to be clean and clear. Because he's been blessed with this great bounty that Allah Ta'ala's, he's been blessed with the shade of Allah's Arsh. So then everything inshallah will follow accordingly. So now in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned 7 categories. So whatever few things we can discuss in the short time we have, the point in all this is that we have to keep reflecting in our own lives. Reflecting in our lives, that on which side of the fence will I fall in the light of this Hadith Sharif. If these are the things that will take me to the shade of the Arsh, which means the opposite will throw me out. So I need to do what's required of me. I need to stay away from what will throw me in the opposite direction. So the first aspect mentioned in the Hadith Sharif is that Imamun Adilun, a just ruler. A just ruler. So a person who's a ruler, who's an imam, who's a hakim, who's ruling over a country, ruling over people, ruling over any level. So that is one category. But this is not confined to the ruler of a country. But any person who has been vested with some level of authority, and there are people under him based on that authority that he has, whether it is the person who has authority over his household, whether somebody has employed people in his employ, whether it is a person in some situation where he he is the manager of some place and he has people under him, whatever situation it might be, all fall under this category. That based on the authority he has, if he exercises that authority correctly, with justice, then he's also Imamun Adilun. And if he does what is not in accordance with that justice, he crosses the line, then he goes in the opposite direction. So now, one is the authority, etc. Some person might feel, I have no authority over anybody. But he too can gain this very great reward of being Imamun Adilun. So the Muhaddiseen give one explanation of this is, that every person is the Imam of himself. And all these limbs Allah has blessed him with is like he's the king of this body. And these are all the different provinces. So he deals with justice with all the different subjects that Allah has put under him. The subjects in terms of the eye, so he deals with that injustice. How? By not subjecting the eye and putting it into this terrible situation that he is making it look at haram. If he puts this eye into haram, he is oppressing it. The justice of this eye is that he uses it in that which is going to bring it comfort from Allah Ta'ala's side. The ears, he listens with what? The ears, he listens to what is halal, what is permissible. He does not use the tongue for ghibat, the hands, the feet. All this, he uses it in the way Allah is pleased with him. He's Imamun Adilun over his own body. And if he starts misusing any limb and organ, then he's oppressing himself. And he's oppressing those limbs. So this is the first category that is mentioned, Imamun Adilun. There's many details in each thing. We're just going to touch on it. And a few things we might discuss in a little bit more detail. But this is a very fundamental aspect nevertheless, to be conscious about whether we're dealing with justice. And whichever sphere it can be, as mentioned, whether in the four walls of our home, whether in our business, whether anywhere, to check, because if it's not justice, then it'll be zulm. And a zulmu zulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. This will result in darknesses on the day of qiyamah, meaning terrible difficulties. So the first aspect was Imamun Adilun. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That shab, that young person who grows up in the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The ibadat of Allah ta'ala, ibadat is total 24 hours. Meaning a person's full life is in the obedience of Allah ta'ala. This is so beloved to Allah ta'ala that this person gave his youth for Allah ta'ala. Many a person becomes conscious of Allah ta'ala in his old age. Somebody makes tawbah, then too, Allah's doors of tawbah are wide open. And a person comes back to Allah ta'ala at any time, Allah's doors of rahmat are open for him. But when a person gives his youth for Allah ta'ala, this is very beloved to Allah ta'ala. When a person makes qurbani, so now when he makes qurbani also, he doesn't go and select one old animal, something that's already now over the hill. He looks for a young animal. The minimum age must be fulfilled, but a young animal. Qurbani of a young animal. Allah Ta'ala also loves that qurbani of that young, of that youth. His qurbani, that is far superior than the qurbani of a person in old age. And this is a tug of war. The temptations, the various things that surround the youth and whatever is tugging in every direction. And despite all these temptations and all the ability to do what they want, and sometimes many have the deadly mix of number one, freedom, no questions asked. Number two, money. Whatever amount required is there already available. And number three, there's a lack of that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So it's the opposite. So now there's freedom, there's money, and there's youth. This is a deadly mix. And in this deadly mix, Allah forbid, what happens? But now in the midst of all these situations, a person did not succumb. So now that's a very great thing in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And he'll be blessed with this great bounty on the day of Qiyamah, the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala, the shade of the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. But now what's going to help this person, and any person for that matter, to remain in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala? So the system in dunya, Allah has made a system for everything. It's not just willy-nilly, there's a system. Person wants to satiate his hunger, there's food to eat, he'll have to eat. He wants to stay safe from all the robbery and the crime and so on. He'll adopt the system, he'll put burglar guards and then he'll put gates on top of it and then he'll put some alarm system and then he won't be satisfied with that also. He'll have a big high boundary wall. That too will not be enough. Then he'll put more, some electric fencing on it, and then that too might not suffice for him sometime. He can't afford more, than he'll have an armed guard. And just having an armed guard is not enough. He'll want armed response also. It just goes on and on, one layer after the other, for what? To secure his dunya. To look after his life. Fine. So there's a system. He adopts the system. So likewise, Allah Ta'ala has given us a system. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spelt it out to us. What's the system? So now a person wants to be safe from all the temptations of nafs and shaitan. Those temptations are going to be there. But he wants to be safe from succumbing to it, from falling prey to it. Whether it is the shayateen that he can't see, or whether the agents of shaitan that sometimes walk around a person and offer him so many things. They offer him sometimes a free ticket to Jahannam. How often this happens? Some young person will say, please make dua. I get this invitation every other day from some friends. We're going somewhere. Why don't you join us? Where are they going? They want to take him on a free ride to Jahannam. So now what's going to help to secure one? So the system Allah Ta'ala has placed, and which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has highlighted in the Hadith Sharif, Al-mar'u ala deeni khaleelihi falyandur ahadukum may yukhalil. That a person, he will follow the way of his friend. So therefore beware of who you make friends with. Because write it down, what kind of company a person keeps is what he will do. If he is a, for example, a non-smoker, and he joins company of people who smoke, then write it down that sooner or later he will smoke. And then depending on what they're smoking, sooner or later he'll also smoke that. These are not things that require in any elaboration. Everybody is well acquainted with this. How somebody, mashallah, was going so well, everything was so fine. And then suddenly he slipped away somewhere. Say, what happened? Says, no, his company changed. He joined the wrong company. He joined the wrong company and in no time he was gone. Now it's become such a difficult thing to now convince him that, look, this is where are you heading to? Come back. Mine also got now completely taken up with this. So the great bounty is for those who give their youth to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The system Allah Ta'ala has placed for us via Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that, and the Quran Sharif, the ayat that was recited at the beginning, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanuttaqullah, tomorrow recited earlier for us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanuttaqullah is the system, that adopt taqwa, or that's the prescription. And the system, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, be with the righteous, be with the truthful, those who are true to Allah Ta'ala. So now when a person adopts the right company, the right environment, that right company and environment must impact on him. That company, whether it's human company, whether it is device company, that device company, that is now the constant company of people nowadays. Human company sometimes is there, sometimes not there. Some days may go past without any particular association with people as such, meaning spending any extended time with anybody. But that is a constant companion, 24/7 almost. Now what kind of companion we've made it? sometimes the worst of companions, the most immoral companion, the companion that's got no qualms about destroying a person fully, destroying his haya, destroying his shame, destroying his modesty, destroying his morality, destroying his consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, destroying everything, destroying his akhirat, destroying his dunya also. This is such a companion, got no problem with all that. Doesn't matter, what happens, happens. I got no issue with it. Why? Because somebody behind is making money out of it. Somebody behind is making money, they got no business of whether the person went in the gutters or what happened, his marriage broke, his children are cursing him, what happened, he himself, what he, where he fell. Somebody is making money out of it, so they'll push the worst filth because it will bring money for them. So now that has become the biggest challenge for many a person. They just understand, this is my biggest problem, what to do about it? What to do about it? That I'm getting burned, please help me, we'll come out of the fire. He says, no, that I can't do. Everything else I can do, but don't tell me to come out of the fire. Telling me to leave the, put the phone out somewhere else, I can't manage that. That is too difficult for me. That is now like taking my life out. We have to make the determined effort, and it won't happen by just a thought. It won't happen by just some intention. It will require to bring oneself in that environment, that company, where the heart first comes alive again. That the dead heart comes alive. Because all these things deaden the heart. It creates zulmat. The things that people see, whatever comes on that screen, the immoral things, it creates complete darkness in the heart. The heart is engulfed in zulmat. And that kills the spiritual heart. And the spiritual heart is killed, then a person becomes totally oblivious of everything around. What's going on? Who's crying? Who's dying? Where he's falling also, he's oblivious. Doesn't matter. Carry on. Until he hits rock bottom and crashes, now he might come to his senses. And sometimes the damage is so far, it's too late to do anything about it. So now this is the lesson that we have been given in this Hadith Sharif. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That person who gives his youth to Allah Ta'ala. And in order to get there, one crucial thing in this period of time that we live in is to become smarter than the smartphone and do without it. And if you have to do with it, then we have to know how to control it. The child doesn't know how to use the knife, you say, no, you can't use it. You're going to kill yourself. So in any case, this is the second aspect mentioned in this Hadith Sharif. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The third aspect, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions category, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. That person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Is the heart attached to the masjid? How we'll know? Is the person checking, is it salah time? Is the person concerned when he's going to sleep that I must make sure my alarm is on in good time to make it for my fajr salah in the masjid? If his heart is in the masjid, then that will be the effort. I have to put the heart in the masjid. The 5 daily salah, that is farz. And for adult males, it's wajib to perform it with jama'ah. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he says to his people that, and this is obviously something he cannot have just thought about it of his own, he would have heard it from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you perform your salah in your home, وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَسَاجِدَكُمْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ, and you leave the masjid out, you're feeling fine, content, I made my salah wherever it was, and you do not come to the masjid for salah, then you would have left the way of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَضَلَلْتُمْ. And if you leave out the sunnah and the way, sunnah here refers to in a very broad concept, the manner of life, the way of life. You leave the way of life of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll go astray. That salah with jama'ah is a protection for many, many things. And when that starts slacking, a person starts missing his salah with jama'ah, it opens the door to missing many other things. And then missing that salah itself sometimes, Allah forbid. So, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. The two people who have this mahabba and this love for each other purely for Allah's pleasure. No ulterior motive, no haram intention, purely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, they meet and depart purely on that note, no other purpose. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. A person gives sadaqah, gives charity in the path of Allah Ta'ala, he spends in the path of Allah Ta'ala in such a sincere manner that to highlight the sincerity, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that what his right hand spent, his left hand didn't come to know. Meaning between him and Allah Ta'ala. He knows and Allah knows. And that sincere sadaqah, that is a tremendous thing. That protects a person from a bad death, which means he will be blessed with death on iman. It extinguishes the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبُ. Meaning he'll be safe from calamities and hardships. And there's so many virtues of sadaqat that are mentioned in the ahadith. Then another category that's mentioned is, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. That a person who has been tempted by a woman of high lineage and beauty. Now these are all, just it adds to the situation. It doesn't mean that if these things didn't apply, then he got tempted at any level. Obviously, this is a very, very more deadly temptation. And what was his response? فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. He said, I fear Allah. I fear Allah. And out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, I am not going to fall in this. In the Hadith Sharif, there's one incident mentioned about a person called Kifl in the Bani Israel. See, there wasn't a sin that he didn't commit. And he was a very wealthy person. One woman came to him out of sheer desperation. That I am in this very desperate situation, I need some help. So he offered the help, the financial help, at a so-called price. And this is unfortunately where shaitan takes people to. That to try and take advantage of people's calamity, people's misfortune, and take advantage in the worst way. What a lowly and despicable situation, that number one, such a serious sin. And then to take advantage of somebody's desperation to trap that person in sin. How low does it become? So in any case, this is what he offered, that yes, I will give you that money, but this is the condition, that you are going to have to commit the sin. So she went away. And then she came again out of that desperation. When she finally, second or third time, so she agreed. Out of that desperation, she agreed. So now when it was almost that he was about to commit the sin, she started crying. When she started crying, so he asked her, what are you crying for? Did I force you into this? He said, I've never ever committed such a vile deed in my life. And I'm fearing Allah Ta'ala. So this struck him. He said, well, if that's the case, if you are fearing Allah Ta'ala, then for Allah's sake, I'm also never going to do this again. He allowed her to take the money and go away, and he let her be. That night, he made tawbah. And it happened that night he passed away. But nobody had any idea about him, what happened in these last moments of his life. And it would have been such that perhaps the next day nobody, when they would have heard about his passing, nobody might have even bothered to attend to his funeral. But now when he passed away, in the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that miraculously in writing on his door was written, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِلْكِفْلِ. Allah has forgiven Kifl. And now eventually the story came out. What happened? But the point was, Inni akhafullah. I fear Allah Ta'ala. And when a person out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, this is taqwa. Taqwa doesn't mean that a person will not experience any temptation. No, taqwa is that he will suppress every temptation. Out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Out of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Not because of insan. Not because of who's watching in terms of insan. But because Allah is aware of everything. No passwords can hide anything from Allah Ta'ala. And no covering up of any tracks can cover things from Allah Ta'ala. So that is his only motivation, that may Allah is watching. So now when he responds in this way, out of the fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that may Allah is watching, may Allah is aware. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ Hazrat Qari Siddiq Banwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, very great personality, who visited our country many times also. He passed away some years back, 20 odd years back. Very great Buzhruk. In his kitab, he's written one incident. There was one student studying in one, those days now they used to study, they used to live in the masjid, in some room, and they would go to, for the lessons to the alim or whoever was delivering the lessons. There was no formal arrangements of boarding and so on. So in any case, he was stationed in one masjid. Somebody had given him a space there. He used to make the imamat. So one night, late at night, in the light of his lamp, he is busy in the masjid studying, learning. And something happened. There was suddenly some riots broke out. In the night, some riots broke out. At that time, one young girl happened to be going from some house to the other house, maybe some relative, whatever. So from her house, she was just now, had gone somewhere, she was returning. And in the midst of that, this one mob was now suddenly creating havoc. So in order to save herself, she found the only place to take refuge was, she saw this masjid. Say, well, the masjid might be the best place to run to. So she came and dashed into the masjid. And when she dashed into the masjid, this young person is sitting there, he got a shock. So now, she came into the masjid and he is now there. So he says, but how can you? He says, I got no choice. This is my life in danger. So he realized, okay, she's now in a desperate situation. So he told, okay, you sit in that far corner. And he went to sit in the opposite corner. Now the night is going. He's got his candle there or lamp, whatever. And he's busy studying. Now she's sitting in the far corner in the back. And now he's concerned that if anybody comes in here, they're going to make a problem for me. They're going to say that what you're doing here in this manner here, this girl is here. But in any case, he is now busy studying. He's got his lamp there. And every now and again, he's putting his finger in the flame. And then when it's obviously going to burn, then he pulls his hand out and he carries on studying. And after some time again, some hours went past like this. And he heard, he realized everything has calmed down, whatever was going on, that problem has now settled. So he called to her and said to her, look, it sounds like everything is quiet, please leave from here immediately. Because just now it's going to be Fajr time, Musallis will walk in, and you're going to make a severe problem for me, please leave now immediately. So she replied and said, I will leave, but only on condition you first tell me this secret of this story. Who puts their hand in a finger in a flame? Why were you doing this? It's not your business. You carry on. Say, I won't go till you don't tell me. Now he wants her to leave. And she's saying, till you don't tell me what's the secret behind this, I'm not going to leave. He said, look, I'm insan also. And shaitan was tempting me. Shaitan was whispering in my ears, in my heart, that now you got this opportunity. So every time shaitan was put, so this is a person of taqwa. This is a person who has the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. But shaitan, he doesn't also become immune to shaitan. But this is the taqwa all about. You see, every time that shaitan came and whispered that, so I had to now counter that. So I put my finger in that flame and I spoke to myself, if you can tolerate this, then you decide to do what else, because then you're going to have to tolerate the fire of Jahannam. If you want to get involved in that sin, then you must get ready to tolerate the fire of Jahannam. So first see if you can tolerate this flame, this small little bit here. You can tolerate this, then you talk about anything else. He says, I would just do that and it will bring me back to my senses. Now he did what was necessary to counter the whispers of shaitan. And that is what we need. And that will come from the same prescription that is in the ayat of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. That you want to adopt this taqwa, then the prescription is be with the people of taqwa. Be with those who have this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't come in any other manner. It comes in this association. That spirit of taqwa comes through this association. Read about the lives of the pious. Be in the environment of deen. Go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Join the company of the ulama, mashayikh. This is what will bring that heart-to-heart connection and will help us to imbibe those qualities that are in the hearts of the pious. So we want to get there. There's a process. It's not just some namesake thing. It must be genuine. It mustn't just be for the sake of now, well, I also subscribe somewhere. No subscription anywhere. It's a matter of associating with the pious in order to absorb that piety from their hearts, to learn from them, and to live our lives in accordance to how they have taught us, not just that for the sake of just whatever, some top thing. No, the reality must come in our lives. So this is the process by which this will come alive. So this category, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَرَجُلٌ. Now this is all the time, this is one is in this very great, this very blatant manner. But the reality of it is, unfortunately nowadays, this is every phone is doing the same thing. Every phone is doing the same thing. And at that time is a person responding by saying, Inni akhafullah. I fear Allah. Otherwise, then person falls headlong. Allah forbid, what's the outcome of that? So this is, this great bounty and this ni'mat is possible all the time by suppressing the nafs, suppressing all these temptations all the time in the midst of all this technology and whatever else. And then one more category Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions is, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. The person who remembers Allah Ta'ala in solitude and in that deep connection with Allah Ta'ala, his eyes flow with tears. We need to make some time of khalwa. Unfortunately, we have a lot of khalwa. Khalwa means solitude, away from everybody. Many times people are looking for that khalwa. They're looking for that khalwa and that solitude from everyone, from their wives also, and everyone. Why? Because they're involved in something else. So they want that khalwat for the wrong reasons. No, khalwat ma'allah. Where it is banda and khuda. Where it is the servant, the slave of Allah Ta'ala, and he is now in this khalwat with his Rabb. And remembering Allah Ta'ala in that solitude. The Sahaba, they did this. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, says when the night would come, the late part of the night, and when the darkness has spread, and he would then start engaging in his ibadat, and then he will address himself, his nafs, and dunya, he will address dunya. He say, you come in try to deceive me? Ghurri ghairi, go and deceive somebody else. Your temptations are all nothing. All your glitter and glamour is worthless. And he will address dunya in this way. He is in this khalwat and he is chastising himself. He is making muraqabah in this manner of the worthlessness of the glitter and glamour of dunya. And how harmful the temptations of dunya are. Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, who is among the ashara mubashara, the fourth of the khulafai rashideen, that personality who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. But he found the need to address himself in this way, to chastise himself, to remind himself that, hey, I got to get my akhirat right. I cannot take chances. I need to connect myself to Allah Ta'ala. I need to remind myself of how harmful these temptations are. Ali radiallahu anhu saw the need for it. We don't find the need for it. Obviously, we have the need for it, but we don't realize it. We have a very desperate need for this muraqabah. We started off with the fikr of akhirat, the muraqabah of maut, our own death. To find time to meditate over our own death. And which is a reality which is coming. There's no escape from it. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he says, think about people who were around. They were around, where are they now? MashaAllah, while the person was around, say what a bubbly person he was, and what a, kept everybody going, and he used to do this and that, but where is he now? He's also gone. And tomorrow, Allah knows best, is our turn also. So to think about it, that people were around, they're not around anymore. People will talk about me tomorrow, that I was around too and I'm gone. So to prepare for that, that muraqabah of maut, being in the right company, and keeping ourselves away from environments, from company, and things that will take us in the direction of nafs and shaitan. Otherwise, then, before we realize it, Allah forbid, where we'll be gone. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah ta'ala bless us with this very real consciousness that we are all headed towards akhirat. We have to prepare for akhirat. We have to prepare for our qabr, prepare for the day of qiyamah. Therefore, we need to inculcate all these good qualities and this consciousness of Allah ta'ala, so that at the time of our maut, then we are given the glad tidings. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Return to your Rabb in a condition you are pleased with your Rabb, and your Rabb is pleased with you. This is the glad tidings that will come at the time of maut. This is what Allah ta'ala bless us with as well.